You are listening to the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
This is 1 hour of fun from the show this morning.
Don't worry, you can still catch the entire show on your favorite podcast app.
And you can watch the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba on Blaze TV.
Enjoy the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Seven and a half minutes past the hour. Rick and Bubba show from the Big Boy Studio. Out on the bleeding edge of technology. From Sweet Home, Alabama to the world. Kickoff hour is done. Speedy, the real Greg Burgess here. Helmsy out. Eddie Van Adler takes over the YouTube responsibilities. Hello, tubers, as we go forward. However you get the Rick and Bubba show, the live options, America's boldest radio stations. Thank you, all our affiliates all across Rick and Bubba land. The TuneIn app, another live option. Download it from TuneIn. Just put in Rick and Bubba show. Get our 24/7 channel there. The YouTube option is a live option. So we welcome all of the tubers, as I mentioned. Archives will be found in a couple of places. Our YouTube channel has a daily archive, also a best of hour that you have if you're a Blaze TV subscriber. And we also have audio archives to go back and get on your own time, which also includes a best of hour. And you can find that on the Rick and Bubba podcast channel. Missing one, the silver tongue one, the man with a golden voice, professional lunch eaters, man of the year, the inventor of pizza in a cup, Shakespeare's worst nightmare, and the master out of King's English. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Bill Bubba Bussey! Howdy, Bubba.
Oh, yeah. Good morning, Rick Burgess, friends, neighbors, and associates everywhere.
Baby, it's all right now.
Yeah.
Bubba, that is, of course, the music from Free.
Free.
Lead singer Paul Rogers, who went on to sing for?
He did Damn Yankees.
Bad Company.
Bad Company.
Bad Company.
Which is one of my favorite band names of all time.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Bad Company.
Tough one. That's a tough one to beat right there. I mean, what's the name of the band? Bad Company. That's good stuff.
It is.
So, yeah. So are they in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Surely.
You know, Rick, I don't think they are. It seems like I may be wrong.
You know, the band.
I think that's one of the ones that people are mad about.
Okay. The band always
felt
like I should have been in was Bad English.
Absolutely.
That was a good band.
That was good.
Right.
Greg, that's what you call, you know, your superstar band.
That's
where you gather all stars and put them on super groups. We love super groups.
You had two
just
from
the
Journey.
Just the name alone, though.
Then had two from Journey in that band. You had the singer, John Waite.
Yep.
And I can't remember who the drummer was. Yeah.
When they do that, how in the world do they work all the contracts out?
I know.
Not easily.
Because they're all under contract to different things.
Easily.
You're right, Greg. They're not in.
I saw on the...
I can't believe Bad Company's not in Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They need to shut the doors.
And neither is Free.
God, what are we doing?
Yeah. What are we doing?
I could live with Free not being in there, but I don't know about Bad Company.
You know, when I saw
Free didn't leave as big a footprint as Bad Company. I'll give you that.
The documentary, Michael Jackson... Moonwalker 40 or whatever it was
Thriller 40.
Yeah.
They talked about a contract dispute they had in one of their joint projects. Do you
that? No, I don't.
And I mean the whole thing got pulled. Forgot which one it was, but they were talking about the conflict.
Well, you know, you go to something as I mean, seriously, what we're talking about, the step down here is going to be gargantuan, but the fact that it's our show, you know, when we recorded Fat Chance, Bubba, you might remember the documentary on that.
A lot of people are talking about it.
Is that at the time, we did not really have any band formed. We just had the originals and then wanted to record them, and then we might put the band together for a tour. So we went out and we hired two musicians to just play in the studio, and we could not name them at the time because of contracts.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. They could not be officially on the CD because they said, if you do, we're still in contract with all this other record company.
And that was members of Brother Kane.
Brother Kane, correct. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's true.
But we couldn't say that.
So, right. But we can now.
We can now.
It's one of my favorite bands. That's a good band.
Oh, I know. Me too.
That's a good one there. So, so today we have a lot to unpack on the program. It is the 1 year anniversary of Puppygate when Greg and Lisa Burgess became.
You know, I get tired just thinking about it.
Surrogate parents to a stray dog.
One year ago today.
Who then dropped 9 puppies on them. But then refused to take care of them. So so anyway,
partially she did have surgery in the middle of it.
Really can't believe that run. It's been a year ago.
Talking about syringe feeding puppies every two and a half to three hours.
It was the closest thing I'd seen to anything killing Greg. It nearly killed him.
It nearly did.
I mean, we thought we would lose Greg in that.
We were not sure you still worked here.
No, we
I wasn't either. Yeah, I didn't know where I was.
And it was like, it was, wow. It forced Greg into a vacation and nearly took his life. But so that, we got updates on every single dog today, is that right? Or most of them?
They're all still, they're at their original homes. At least they placed them in.
Okay.
So great relationship.
Yep. On a real,
some
real.
Some are big, some are. They're bigger than I thought they would be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there's no doubt this theory of these veterinarians that told us that because of the way our Creator made dogs, it is possible for the mother to actually birth a children from multiple dads. And so,
from the looks of these,
and these certainly seem to reflect that.
We had from one extreme to the other.
Yeah. On a very serious note, you know, Israel. My goodness. It seems like Israel is always in the headlines, and you know, we just partnered with Maoz Israel, which is a Messianic Jewish organization that's trying to help the people of Israel. Kobe Ferguson, the CEO, will give us the latest update on all things Israel. He is with this incredible organization that we're working with, and we'll talk to him a little bit later on in the program. So that should be quite the update.
And Rick, we have some updated information. I know everyone has been asking, how do the podcasts do? How are they rated out there in the podcast world? We've got an update. We don't share this every week, but some of this was funny this week.
Bubba, you have been pursuing trying to figure this out for years, and it's really hard to figure out.
It is. It really is.
We'll be right back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
But, this is a article that was in the Gadsden newspaper. Hmm. Is it Gadsden Times? Is that
when
that's the name?
Yes. Bingo.
In March of 1996. Ooh, okay, March 19. We've been doing the show about 2 years full time, and it says services are linking Gadsden to the internet. Okay, that was the big story here on the headline. Disc jockeys Rick and Bubba and Q104
watch out,
were the first local entities to become, get this, accessible through the World Wide Web.
The first.
Of the internet.
Well.
Now here comes more.
Around
and they
the
go on to
edge.
Say that the Gadsden Public Library hopes to have internet installed. The city of Boaz is working on getting theirs installed. The
y'all
internet website at the Alabama Museum Association convention, and it goes on to talk about the Cultural Arts Center in Gadsden.
I was leading the charge in the Gadsden area.
But it's so funny that we led the charge in Gadsden.
Brought internet to the city, buddy.
Yep.
Once y'all did it, everybody said, we got to have some of that.
No, I'll tell you, honestly.
Let me get a hand hold.
There was nobody more shocked than me when – we got a call one day from a guy, and he said, I got something you need to see. And I went to Talladega. And they had a...
That's where it was at?
I can't remember the guy's name. I can't remember the business. If you're still out there, email me and remind me. But he said, I've got something you want to see. And we had been experimenting with these dial-up bulletin boards, okay, where you had to log in over the phone, you know, and you had your modem and all that stuff. Oh, yeah. And he said, you've got to see the World Wide Web. And I'm like, the World Wide Web? I couldn't even.
No.
And he was talking about, well, you got to open this browser to look at it. A browser. No. And it was called Endora. And I thought Endora was Samantha's mom on Bewitched.
Absolutely.
And he was pulling up these websites. And I'm like, what are we plugged into? And he said, it's the internet. And I said, well, do you dial into it? No. He said, it's there all the time. I said, what? I don't get this. There's the story right there. And it was just, and
look,
I can't,
wrote it.
And I was totally blown away. I remember riding back from Talladega thinking, what have I seen?
I can't get my head around
what. And then I had to come in and try to explain it to everybody. And you know that, and you know that was, that was a tough order, because I didn't know what I was looking at either.
No.
And but we started, you know, and then you try to call, hey, can we get internet service? What?
I know.
You want a phone line? No, internet.
You know, it's always hard to describe something to somebody that you don't fully understand yourself.
Right.
You know?
It's very hard.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know what I felt like? Ezekiel trying to tell everybody what I saw in the sky.
I know.
It was overwhelming, but I didn't know how to
describe it.
I'll tell you what, now when this story comes out, and I'm kind of watching Greg and Adler, and I'm thinking to myself the way Pigpen felt in Charlie Brown Christmas. When Charlie Brown tried to get, you know, the one that had naturally curly hair to see him differently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he said, picture this dirt that's all over him maybe came from the, you know, the roads that Solomon's chariots went down and all this stuff. And he turns around and he says, kind of makes you look at me a little differently, doesn't it? And I'm thinking to myself right now, you guys are thinking, well, we're working with the guys that were one of the first people to be on the internet.
Brought it to Gadsden. Yeah. You know, I knew about it.
So Big Head Chuck last week emailed me a video in the 1990s. I guess he was in the studio or something like that, and you were reading emails, Bubba.
Right.
You had them printed out, and your stack of emails,
World
and you were
web.
Sitting there reading at your little glass desk that you sat at over on the side, and it was crazy. Yeah. I mean, just to see how advanced we're, and we thought we had it going on back then.
Well, apparently
did. This is him right here reading it.
It was
crazy.
My goodness.
Rick, if you could hear it.
Oh, my goodness.
Instant replay still going.
Not that we're wanting to gloat, but in a scientific manner, it really helps us to keep count.
Yes, thank you, sir. Jesse, congratulations
on
your
couple of rubes. Look at that. Just look at it. That's high tech, right?
Yeah, look at the computer right there.
That was digital. Wasn't that the DigiLink?
Yeah.
I thought, hey, Greg.
First automation system.
Imagine doing commercials and that.
That's a good one. Thank you, Jesse.
I like that soundproofing y'all got.
You're like sitting over
you know what it is? A bedroll. Bedroll, by the way. Sprayed on the wall.
But the link starts with you reading like emails, and then Rick's like, let's go out to the World Wide Web.
Let's go out to the World Wide Web.
What a couple of rubes. You know, that's who connected Gadsden to the World Wide Web right there.
And you know,
look at them hard chargers.
I look back and I think we were on the cutting edge of the internet.
Yeah. Right.
And look what we've done with it over 31 years.
Oh, yeah. And look,
I feel like we are the Angel Hernandez of the internet.
That's so great.
Get it right.
That is so great.
Greg, looking at our looking at our just visual health. Apparently, we were on the cutting edge of death as well.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
How did we hang on?
Look, that's how we did phones. They wrote it down on a piece of paper.
Yeah, brought it in.
Please look how small the area you are.
Look at Speedy. How young he is.
This isn't fair to Adler because I'm standing behind you, Rick, and I've got a pad in my hand, Rick, and that's what I'm doing. I am writing
you
notes.
Tell me, you ain't. Look at that look on his face.
Running with the dogs.
Yeah, that's what y'all got out of this.
Yes.
Greg! He's
so good.
He's been out all night.
Playhouse, baby.
Rick, no doubt about it.
There's your van seat, Rick, over to the left.
All right. Sure.
I wish you could hear. Oh, Bubba's yawning.
Yeah, early.
Look.
Oh, the face rub.
Probably been at the transmitter all night.
Top of the hour.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
That one, I tell you, looking at the video and listening to the audio all the way back to that original studio, and us, of course, being on the cutting edge of bringing the internet to Gadsden, Alabama, watching that, it really is shocking. As time goes by, you know, creeping, you don't notice it.
Right.
But when my goodness, I mean, we've got, we're in that little bitty room. We've got Speedy writing down phone callers on a piece of paper and handing them to me. We got Bubba reading emails from the World Wide Web.
Yeah.
I just look over there. There's some, we're going to CDs there. At least the cart machines are gone. Yeah. And we have our first look like computers
playing automation.
Playing commercials.
Wow.
Look at that thing.
Because there used to be a triple deck cart machine right there where that was. That was later. We were moving forward there.
Yeah. Of course, the Mellow Yellow's still there.
Some things have never changed.
Sure. So anyway,
we just gone to die.
What a technological look back that was. So 1 year ago today, Greg and Lisa had the puppies. We'll get into that. We'll look and see where the dogs are. We'll update you on that. Phone calls coming up next hour. Bubba, right now, Andy Reid in the news.
How about old Andy Reid? He has now won 3 Super Bowls with the Chiefs over the past 5 years.
Yep.
Belichick was reportedly the highest paid coach in 2023 at $20 million. The new deal from the Kansas City Chiefs, and we don't have the exact numbers yet,
right,
but they have said will make him the highest paid head coach in the NFL. Good for him.
Yeah, and rightfully so. You know, the thing you got to love about this story, and of course,
he's earned that.
Is do you remember when he was at the Eagles and they would be pretty good and they couldn't quite get there?
Right.
And
then got to Super Bowl, I think, once.
Yeah, and then everybody started kind of saying, hey, he can't get there. He can't win the big game. He can get us there, but he can't win it. Mm-hmm. And then he goes to the Chiefs and just has a resurgence of and gets them there and wins multiples.
Yeah, he's currently 65 years old, Rick. The new deal runs through 2029, so 5 more years, that gets him to 70.
Wow. There you go.
And at that point, he'll probably run for president.
Right.
And win.
Yeah. So if Belichick was, as you said, Bubba, was reportedly being paid $20 million, and they're saying he's going to, and he says the average for that normally in the NFL is $6 million a year. So if he's going to be the highest paid, I mean, that gives us something to at least play with, right?
Yeah, I mean, does that mean since Belichick's gone, he's going to be the $20 million a year guy? What's he making now, does it say?
It doesn't say. If it does, I didn't read far enough into the article, which that's, you know, that could happen.
Yeah, he's about to get paid.
So when you look at the number of Super Bowls he's won, which is the ultimate goal if you're in the NFL.
Sure.
He has won 3. He only trails Bill Belichick, who has 6 at New England, and Chuck Knoll, who has 4 with the Steelers in the 70 during their time. Mm-hmm. He is even with San Francisco's Bill Walsh and Washington's Joe Gibbs. Walsh, of course, was known for his innovative West Coast offense, and Gibbs is the only coach to claim 3 championships with 3 different starting
players. How about Joe? Yeah.
Didn't realize Joe had 3.
I didn't either.
It says here Andy makes roughly $12 million a year now.
Okay. All right. Thank you for finding that, Speedy. So we know it's going to be more than that.
And Rick, the record in Philadelphia over 14 years was excellent. 224 wins and 130 losses. The Eagles got to 1 Super Bowl but had 4 consecutive NFC championship games.
Yep. So he did well there, too.
Yep. He's won everywhere he's went.
Yep.
So, and he seems to be a likable guy. He's not your GQ, you know.
No.
But look at the guys who are the top coaches in the NFL, okay? Just going off this list, you got him, you got Belichick, you got Chuck Knoll, and he was low-key. There wasn't nothing flashy about him.
Nope.
Now, when you get
Walsh was
a little more outgoing, but he wasn't flashy in a GQ way. He was just a little more talkative.
He was a fine dresser, though.
Yeah. Joe Gibbs was very businesslike.
Yeah.
So, you know, the GQ head coach has not done as well in the NFL as the roll your sleeves up, get it done guys, it looks like.
No, and I don't know how all this works as far as what kind of person they were. I mean, not person, but what kind of coach they were, what their style was. You know, were they the I'm feared, you know, don't be at odds with the man in that office right there? Were they a little
players coach?
Were they a little more players coach? Did they balance the two? Probably that's the answer. They probably balanced both very well. So I don't know, but they all have this thing, and Reid has this thing that we've looked for years doing this show. The great coaches, no matter where you put them, no matter who hires them, they win wherever they go.
Yeah,
at every level, they always win. So
Matt Ryan has retired. Mm-hmm. From the Baltimore Colts, of course, the long-running quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons, says he is ready for the next chapter of life.
I didn't realize he'd play 14 years.
Yeah, 14 years. And if you look stat-wise, by far and away, the most successful coach, I mean the most successful quarterback the Falcons ever had.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and Greg made the point earlier that he only missed three games.
That's what I heard this morning.
Three games in 14 years.
He went to work every day.
Yep. And so, Bub, I saw, did you see there's controversy with Cousins going to the Falcons?
No.
Yeah, they said something happened that was a little shady that may cost
tampering.
The Falcons. A little tampering.
I think, yeah.
Somebody calling tampering.
Yep.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either. Did they reach out to him before there was a
We talking about torturous interference?
Yeah. So they're saying that the Falcons may get punished on some future draft picks.
Watch out. Fine.
Right. But it won't matter, Bubba, because they got Cousins.
I got him.
Even though Kirk Cousins, fine man. Fine man.
Yeah,
I'd look forward to meeting him one day. We're actually in a book with him, but I'd like to meet him. Mm-hmm. I just thought for this point in time with the Vikings, it was time to chart a new course. So, you know,
well,
he was there 8 years, seven, eight
was
years.
Was he there? Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
So is he a fine man?
Good guy. Fine
right.
man.
Right.
Fine man.
Yep.
I hope he does good with the Falcons. I hope they tear it up.
Do you?
I do. Oh,
wow. But who would you like you to see them if they take a quarterback?
I don't care. I'm not keeping.
So you're done with the Vikings?
You don't care?
No, I don't care.
I love how you say you don't care.
Well, I know. I mean, all it leads to is disappointment. I mean, it's like, you know, it's if there's never a gift under the Christmas tree, why look forward to Christmas?
That's a great way to put it.
Bubba,
I feel like little Ruby Sue in Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
I didn't get nothing last year.
Do you have a team that you picked that does not break your heart? Like they just win all the time.
I had my favorites growing up, and they're pitiful. But I enjoy watching the Chiefs play. All the characters on there. I'm not insert twist, Speedy. I'm just a casual viewer now. I enjoy
Rick's talking about original, not bandwagon. They're good. I like to watch them play.
I love being a bandwagon fan. I think that's anybody that's not a bandwagon fan is kind of stupid, really.
Here's what happened. What you just heard was Bubba's conversation with himself in the mirror.
Yeah.
Why am I letting these teams do this to me?
I don't know these people. I know one of them, but I don't know many of them.
Kirk Cousins was with the Vikings 5 seasons.
Bubba had him there 8 or 9.
It felt like 8, didn't it?
It felt like 10.
Is he a good guy?
Excellent guy. I'd like to meet him. He's a good guy.
Phone calls are next.
Oh, we got one more. Zach Wilson going to the Broncos.
See that? I don't even know who that is.
He's a Jets
quarterback, never panned out.
Okay, they'll give you about 2 years now. If you don't do it in 2 years, you're done.
All right, we'll take your phone calls next. Bubba, Rick and Bubba. Phone calls standing by at 866-WE-BE-BIG. We start with Jack in Sweet Home, Alabama. Jack, go ahead.
Hey, Green Acres.
Hey, thank you, Jack. What's on your mind today?
We were just wondering if y'all had heard of Biden and his brother getting eaten by cannibals.
His brother.
I didn't hear about both of them.
Now, when did that happen?
There was a news interview he had
on Friday.
He said he had got his brother. He claimed his brother had been eaten by cannibals.
Do you mean when he said his uncle was eaten by cannibals?
Yeah. His uncle was eaten by cannibals.
Yeah. I don't think his brother was eaten by cannibals. His brother's
still out there wheeling and dealing.
Yeah, his brother's actually probably stole money from the cannibals.
Somebody printed shirts that say "Cannibals ate my uncle."
That is cool. I need one.
Look at that.
Oh, that's funny. Good stuff right there. We continue.
Did y'all hear about his brother?
William, welcome to Rick and Bubba. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm sitting here with Mike from he called last week. We're running a test over here in Boaz. We're shining lasers at drivers going down the road left and right, and we're trying to figure out how soon it takes for them to run off the road. It seems to be when you shine it straight at their eyes, the light's hitting them a little bit quicker, And that, as opposed to, you know, perpendicularly, they don't seem to really notice the laser at all.
Please don't do that.
He's making a joke about the guy who shut the whole show down. But that's really a terrible, terrible,
it is.
A
terrible thing. So it's terrible.
Impressionable people are listening going, what? That's a throwback joke. That's not serious.
He doesn't really mean it.
He doesn't really mean it.
Is he still emailing you?
I think he let go, too.
Okay,
We moved from car racing to lasers to cannonballs to airplanes.
Right.
And I finally just said, look, you're going to have to go talk to Neil deGrasse Tyson. I'm not getting through to you.
Kevin in Oxford. Kevin, go ahead.
Hey, I want to get y'all's opinion on if they find Trump guilty, what happens to him?
I don't know.
You know, that's a great question. It's so complicated. I've heard so many different expert opinions. I don't know, and I don't know that they know, really.
Yeah.
Witch hunt.
Isn't there? There's more trials to come, right?
This is not even. They're lined up.
Rick, I mean, it's trial of the week. You need a spreadsheet.
We're currently on the Adult Film Star payoff. That's the one we're on.
The hush money.
If you're keeping score.
Right. They're calling it the hush money trial.
Thank you, Greg. Just call it the hush money trial is enough.
But we, again, aside from what happened or didn't happen, don't know. But when you have a non-disclosure agreement and you're paid not to disclose
information. Here we go. Uncomfortable conversation, but this is a legitimate conversation.
That's why are we calling a hush money? I mean, every NDA has hush money tied to it.
Am I wrong? And check me on this. It's something to do that he paid it through his company and tried to claim it as some type of – it's how he paid it is what the crime's based on.
Well, right. They're trying to tie it to influencing the election.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're trying to say he used money that was but that's not the question Bubba's asking. The question Bubba's asking, and I made the mistake, and I wish I could have it back, at breakfast – Saturday morning, while doing a marriage conference, okay, and just finished one, and Sherry and I were then going to church the next morning where I got a chance to do that service, and I made the mistake of looking at a woman and posing Bubba's question, who you're married to. You know, really honest, you look at this, so, I mean, if he told the woman that he gave her the money to be quiet about what happened with them and she didn't do it, shouldn't she be guilty of something? Now, it didn't take long for my wife to look up from her breakfast and say, well, here's an idea. How about not being in a position where you're having to pay women hush money? How about that, Rick? And I said, no, got that.
Yeah.
Got that. And I'm not saying that's okay at all. I was posing a legal question, but I realized pretty quick that I wish I had never posed that particular legal question.
Right.
And we can't forget. So you just pay them off. No. I didn't say that.
She hasn't lived up to her end.
I'm just saying, did she violate her contract and her agreement? Which is what Bubba's asking. I know that's an uncomfortable question, and you shouldn't put yourself in that situation.
I'm sure
I got all that.
Some people have paid those just by being threatened.
Of course, none of us really know. Of course, that's called blackmail. But yeah.
And let's not forget that nobody would even touch this indictment or whatever. They wouldn't even entertain it, even Bragg himself, until Trump announced he was running for re-election, and then that's when they tried to charge him.
Good. So video three, and we'll go back to phone calls. This is Trump's attorney and spokesperson, and really is talking about what they're now calling lawfare against Trump, and this is outside the courtroom where they're making the point. So here it is.
He should not have two teams of lawyers here today. He should not even be here today because he did nothing wrong. It is the epitome of a witch hunt. I just left where a judge asked us whether our cash bond, sitting in. Ms. James wanted to argue and say that our cash somehow isn't green enough. We wasted time. The judge made a comment saying he thought that money market accounts could go down under the amount. He doesn't even understand basic principles of finance. But this was the man that decided that we owed money and my client committed fraud. We are going to attack every single one. 1 hour, the attorney general and that judge realized quickly that they had no idea what they were talking about. We came to an agreement that everything would be the same. We would modify terms, and that was it. This is where your taxpayer dollars are going, America. Right here. Witch hunt after witch hunt. President Trump's company was worth more in that case than it is now. And now what? We're here because of something that happened when he was in the White House that wasn't even wrong. It was not wrong. You hire lawyers to solve problems, lawyers solve those problems, you pay them. That's it. This is a joke. It's an affront to the American Constitution. It's an affront to our judicial system. And it's an affront to every lawyer that cares about their license, that cares about what is right and wrong. I am sick of coming in front of the press and saying this, but you have to, because you people need to understand what is going on. God forbid you put an accounting thing in for legal counsel. It's legal counsel. And now our taxpayer dollars, my time, our attorney's fees, are all here because they're afraid of 2024. And you know what? They should be, because the American people are not stupid. They see what's going on.
Mm. Somebody's mad.
Was she, Rick, in the bathroom? That is what we call it's a bulldog.
Yeah,
and
right.
She is representing Trump. And I tell you, if I was in trouble and I had her and the one that represented Johnny Depp, I'd feel good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they are bulldogs.
Yes, woo. Yes. And yeah.
He came out.
And if anybody was still alive from OJ's team, maybe one of those thrown in.
Now what we have seen happen in this.
Of course, God killed all them.
Is that.
I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
Your email's going to get
here. I know. It's another, there come those emails.
Well, are any of them watching TV today?
Right. I just thought it was just a simple little, probably not a great attempt at humor, but it was there.
See, in the past, when Trump has had people come out and defend him like she is, mm-hmm. then they sue the lawyers for saying this.
Oh, yeah.
See, you've never heard that in America. I mean, everyone is, under the Constitution, allowed legal counsel. No matter what you did or didn't do or accused of,
sure,
right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Well, and have you heard of anybody else's lawyer's office being raided? Ever? No.
Ever?
He came out, Trump did, and made some statements outside in that hall that's tough to hear, and the echo's
terrible.
They need to go outside.
Can we mic that?
But he talked about how they don't want him on the campaign trail. He was supposed to be in Georgia, Florida,
that's
the reason for this.
Of course it is.
Because they want him to stay in court and not leave. He can't miss anything.
I know. Well, I mean, we're not stupid. We all see what's going on.
And just to stack as many of them on, you know, if you had a legitimate case and you brought it, and we've always said, if you're guilty, you're guilty, you pay the sentence, whatever it is. But the sheer number that they've piled on this begins to look suspicious. You know, it's like, you know, getting pulled over for a traffic ticket and have 34 charges. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, what?
I will say this, though. I did hear like a Democratic strategist yesterday go, they don't even know what they're doing. Like, CNN used to not cover anything Trump would say, but now they're covering him defending himself because they're so happy he's having to do it. And they said what they don't even realize is that's campaign for him that they never normally would carry anything he would say, but now they are.
I think they pushed all their chips to the middle of the table. I don't think they care what we think about it if they can pull it off.
No, they're all in. They're going to stop him one way or the other.
Yeah, we'll be right back. Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba. We got an update. 1 year ago today, Greg picked up a stray dog. Yep.
Still got her.
Yeah, and they're down on the street. Everybody say now, hey! Bow wow wow, yippee yo, yippee yay, bow wow, yippee yo, yippee yay, hey!
Bow wow wow, yippee yo, yippee yay, bow wow, yippee yo, yippee yay.
Yeah, that was something, guys. A year ago today, my friend.
Yeah.
A year ago today.
Yeah, I watched her have nine.
Mmm.
I'm at that. It was a whole day long. I didn't realize how long it took.
Now, how did this dog come into your life?
She just showed up.
Showed up at your house.
It happens.
And then
we fed her, and she wouldn't let us
get
near.
Who fed her?
Of course, Lisa.
And she decided to stay. You thought, well, we'll take on another dog if she wants to live here. God bless her. She's been through a lot.
Yeah, and I messed up. She went in heat. And you know why that happened?
And the rest, they say.
It's history. Because I noticed she was getting really fat, and I thought, oh, that ain't good.
So she birthed nine puppies.
Yes. Eight of them made it.
In your garage. Eight of them survived.
Well, yeah, parsed in the garage, a couple of places in the yard.
Okay.
She, you know, when she first started, she would drop one and take off running.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And then
it was unbelievable.
And then, unfortunately, she had health issues, which made her not a great mom.
unable to nurse the new puppies.
Yes.
So you and your wife, Lisa, became on a journey of finding a way to nurse eight puppies.
Syringes. Yeah, it was tough. It was quite the ordeal. They took over the whole garage.
Followed by a canine hysterectomy.
Yeah.
Of the stray.
That kind of hurt her feeding up, so she was out for a while. Then she finally just gave it up altogether. Anyway, we got... went through it. One of the good things that came from it is a lot of show material, Speedy sucking on the...
Suckler
2000.
Yeah.
You know, that's classic.
That's one of the 4,000 moments of 30 years.
Unfortunately, the dogs didn't take to it.
No.
I tried it. They didn't like it.
Right.
No sleep.
Speedy liked it.
Oh, yeah, he loved it. He tore it a new one. Yeah.
Speedy was the only one to actually use the Suckler 2000. The dogs didn't want anything to do with it.
No. What you got some coming out, it all started working.
Yeah, they never could figure it out.
Here we go.
But we, it was that. That was over. They took the whole garage over.
And your life, not just your garage.
Yes.
They took your life over.
I was looking for the 8 week, 6 to 8 week mark. Mm-hmm. And of course, Lisa vetted everybody and found them homes. And they're all still with the owners they got last year. They're still there. They're all 1 year old today.
Speedy described during the time when you weren't sleeping and were still driving into work before you decided, I must take my vacation days or die.
Yeah.
And he said that he saw your hand shaking as you were trying to move. You were trying to move the mouse.
Yeah, no sleep.
And your eyes bloodshot red, all because you were having to feed puppies with a syringe.
I've never stared at a calendar so long in my life. One time to count down.
Right. So that was.
Once we got past the syringe stage, it got better because they could just lap the milk up out of a bowl, and then they eventually started eating. You know, that got better on the feeding part. Now it didn't get better on the smell and the dogs everywhere part, and they taking over the entire garage. The entire garage was taken over.
I think that probably there's a lot of things that would be for me personally hell on earth.
Yeah,
and that's right there.
Of course, then I did get attached to them. I didn't want to keep them. Unlike
here comes that Lisa side
wanted
of Greg
to keep a few of them, but I did get attached to them as I got to the fun age when they were actually when I put them in that swimming pool. It was like Thunderdome. They get in there and fight.
Yeah. So now
that was pretty cool.
Now you have before and after pictures.
Yes.
You have updates.
Yeah. This is them years. Okay, that's Daisy and Dolly.
Okay,
and on the left, obviously, and now look, they're grown.
Oh, wow, and that, cute little dogs.
Kevin and Peyton Bishop, Center, Alabama. That's theirs. who we got there? That there is Tammy Wynette.
Bubba.
Who's now, her name is, they didn't, some kept the name, some didn't.
Mm.
They're now Thelma and Louise. Her and her sister, Tammy and Loretta Lynn.
Okay.
They went to Sturgis, Mississippi, Alexis Ray family. They got two little girls that love them to death.
Well, that's George puppy, isn't it?
There's George Jones.
I
right
like
here.
George.
This is Georgie.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, Georgie lives in Birmingham.
Okay.
By the way.
Okay.
Yeah, he does. Mount Olive to be. Candace Gray, she's taking care of Georgie, and he's part of the family. This is, I believe that's Elvis.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm wrong. That's Bob Seger.
Oh, hey, Bob.
But you remember Bob? Well, his name is Little Bobby Burgess now.
Oh, really? That's his name. Little Bobby Burgess? Yes.
He lives in Athens, Rick. John and Paige Conway.
Okay.
Little Bobby Burgess.
There's little Bobby Burgess right there. Now, there's Elvis.
There's Elvis.
Okay.
Now, Elvis, his name is now Lake because it's pretty funny. He lives with Clay Hassett and his family. And Clay met us at Logan Martin Lake to give him dog off, and so they've changed his name to Lake. He said it was either that or Dollar General or Chevron because we were in the
I think he came out of that pretty good with Lake.
That's funny. Yeah.
But there, and then this is the truck driving dog.
Okay.
This is
Tom Petty, right?
Yes, Tom Petty. Mm-hmm. He lives with Dennis and Jill Ryan in Kentucky. Dennis told me Tom's been to 21 states.
How about that?
He kept his name
Tom Petty?
Yes, his name is Tom Petty.
Look at him, man. He's a good
and now George Jones, his name is now Jack.
So, okay.
But most of them kept. But there's Tom Petty. He's a traveler.
Awful cute puppies.
That's aren't so they? Cool.
See, and so they're all a year old today, and it brings back just exhausting memories and wow, what a handle I was in.
Oh, you were such a handle.
And people, and of course, Lisa called the show and trashed me. Everybody loved that.
Well, I was going to tell you,
Speedy
Rough Patch,
hit the succular.
The latest Best of CD, CD1, Cut 2, 10 puppies and one big butt. That is that is a quote from Lisa.
Said that. Yeah, I remember.
The next cut, How Does Greg Do It? And then the other one, Suckler 4000. That's cut 2, 3, and 4 on
yeah,
CD.
Speedy. Rick.
Greg Burgess, Speedy.
Yeah, this ain't about me.
Bill Bubba Gussie.
There it is.
Stop it. Good. Bubba, you're the one that ordered that.
What a moment.
Oh, that just
Rick.
Oh, do we have
that? Is on? that's a precious view right there.
Oh, that is a. I don't
I just
know.
Need to stop. Should,
I was at home watching the show on television when Speedy did that. Okay, there we are. Yeah. That's the old syringe feed.
Golly,
that's fine.
That's crazy. Oh,
especially when there's eight of them.
Let's see Speedy take a pop off.
No, we ain't got time.
Look. Now that's when she was still in the game.
Wow.
There, she was letting them nurse for
look
a while.
Look at that.
And yeah, that was y'all.
I don't.
My goodness, I can't believe it's been a year. It took me a year to recover.
Oh my God.
Look,
stop it. Y'all.
This is Speedy with the Suckler 4000.
Y'all stop. Right,
we're now watching.
Y'all stop.
I don't think I can watch it. So that's good news for you. I think I'll have to look away. Okay, so
I did look away.
I don't think I can watch it. I honestly don't. Can
I was embarrassed
for
myself.
For puppies now.
Absolutely.
This is for the puppies.
It's for the puppy.
It's for the puppy.
I'd like to see you bark like a dog.
It's for.
Ten seconds.
It's for.
Sorry, we got to go to break.
The puppies. Okay.
Look, there he goes. He's going in.
We will make sure it works.
He's going in.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my
goodness.
I'm not looking.
Oh, right. My goodness. Right. Oh, my goodness.
Go ahead.
Oh, my goodness.
Go ahead. Go.
All right.
Go,
so hard.
Go ahead.
Five.
He's really doing it. I don't know. There's a little gap he can't get through. He can't quite.
Oh, my God.
He can't quite do it.
That is so funny.
But if you think that that is happening just there, what's going on in our country right now on the universities mainly involving Jewish people is just bizarre. We've got various videos talking about that. Here is a masked Columbia University student, and they're doing some sort of silent dance without music to entertain Palestinian activists that are occupying the campus. What?
Yeah, this is a dance that not sure why they're doing this, and also don't forget this school costs like $50,000 a year. And
okay,
here you go.
And this is for
Palestine. They're dancing for Palestine.
They're dancing for Palestine, and thank goodness they have their mask on. And they're doing this dance for these Palestinians who are occupying the campus.
Yeah.
I can tell they must not be all that familiar with Sharia law.
Right.
Wouldn't have been allowed to do that.
No.
There with Hamas in control. All right, so the next one, we have a Columbia professor saying that his key card to enter the school has been deactivated because anti-Israel protesters have taken over the school. He is a Jewish professor. So here we go.
And the school deactivated his card, quote, for his own safety.
I have a right as a Jewish person to be on campus. I have a right as a professor employed by the university to be on campus. They deactivated my card. These are 5 lawsuits in happening.
So there you go.
Yes. So now keep in mind, they're even telling students to go back to online classes because the campus has become so dangerous. Here's the current president of Columbia University, and this is back in 2001, calling the 9/11 terror attack that killed over 3,000 Americans simply a form of protesting.
So it's not, you'll always have individuals who will have extreme views, but what's really troubling in the region is that there's actually quite a broad base of society which has some sympathy for the terrorists, not so much because they approve of their methods, but it's a form of protesting against a system which is not delivering for them on the economic or the political front.
Okay. President of Columbia.
Yeah, that...
Columbia University.
All right, next, we got AOC getting in the mix. She's with our current president. It's supposed to be the Climate Corps event. Is that what this is supposed to be on Earth Day?
Yeah.
In the middle of this, you almost feel there's an endorsement for the pro-Hamas takeover of the campuses. Here we go.
It is especially important that we remember the power of young people shaping this country today, of all days, as we once again witness the leadership of those peaceful student-led protests on campuses like Columbia, Yale, Berkeley, and many others.
Probably not the time to tie that into Earth Day, since it's a completely different topic. These people are not taking over the campuses for the good of the earth. They're taking over campuses and trying to attack, you know, Jewish people.
And they've got this encampment here set up that you've seen. And it's so funny that they act like this is a grassroots movement. Who went and bought all these tents, though? I want to know how'd they get all the same three-person tents on this
group? Yeah. Next, Ron DeSantis says, let's stop with the foolishness. I'm just going to tell you exactly what this is all about. And he's going to say, here's how you can solve the anti-Semitism that's taking place on college campuses. And he shoots pretty straight. Here we go.
Yale University, your alma mater, regarding the anti-Semitic demonstrations there. And then secondly, I want to ask you about restoration. What can the state government do that the federal government isn't doing, namely the U.S. Corps of Engineers, where they're faltering? You know, what could you guys do more outside of what you're doing?
Well, first on what's happening in these college campuses, you know, if I were in charge, I would send the Justice Department after those universities, because this is unacceptable to have this type of anti-Semitism, where it's not just bad speech. They're really targeting Jewish students. It's a hostile environment and violates the civil rights of those students. And these universities, they just aren't willing to do what needs to be done to ensure. I can tell you this, in Florida, at our state universities, you know, there's a code of conduct. You know, you have a right to protest and stuff, but you don't have a right to harass other people. You don't have a right to put a target on someone's back based on their religion or ethnicity. And if you're doing those things, you know, you're going to be shown the door. I think these students, if they're foreign students on visas, their visas should be canceled and they should be sent home. That should just happen. Second, if it's students, American students, and they're violating code of conduct, you start expelling people, the behavior will change. Right now in higher education, particularly in those schools up there, the inmates run the asylum. And so the students do this stuff knowing there's not going to be any repercussions. The minute there's repercussions, you will start to see a change in behavior. And so I think what's going on up there is disgraceful, but I think Biden has been very weak in basically allowing that to happen without getting the Department of Education and the Department of Justice involved, which I would have done.
Yeah, you've said it 1,000 times, Bubba, we've said it. We have a right to express ourselves in this country.
Absolutely.
We do not have the right to harass people, to keep people from getting their education, to keep professors from being able to come on the campus, because we've created such a dangerous situation solely for these people because of their religious convictions and their ethnicity. I dare say I don't think we would allow, and rightfully so, a bunch of white people to come onto a campus and make black students feel so uncomfortable they can't get their education and target them and it become dangerous for them just because we don't like them. That would not be tolerated. It shouldn't be tolerated. And when you have these Palestinian people doing this to Jewish people, it should not be tolerated either in those who are supporting Hamas. This is one of the more bizarre college protests we've ever had, and it seems to be one of the most uninformed.
Well, we've seen this on college campuses when a speaker comes that does not fit the liberal agenda of the perceived or the perceived liberal agenda of a university, where they will just try to shout them down. See, I don't think that is protest. That's not free speech. If you're unhappy with somebody that's going to be there, have a protest outside, march, do whatever. You don't impede people trying to get in. You go in, let people have their say, let people hear what they got to say, and then you can be the judge of it on its own merit. But not letting them speak is not a form of protest.
Right. Your protest and your right to protest, the line to draw is when you keep me from practicing my right to speak my mind as well. Now you've overstepped, and you certainly can't make people feel dangerous, like they're in danger and you're going to harm them. Yeah, you can't target them.
Saying death to America, death to Israel, that's not allowed.
Well, we'll talk deeper about that with Kobe Ferguson. He's our guest next. Rick
and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
You've heard us over the last few weeks talking about our partnership with Maoz Israel and what's going on in Israel yet again. This organization has been around for 50 years. Kobe Ferguson is the CEO. Kobe, welcome to Rick and Bubba. How are you, sir?
Great to be on air with you guys.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Hi, so are we saying it right? Maoz Israel?
You know what? I heard a couple of the spots you did, and you're like one of the only people that got it right in the first try. So
okay, good.
Yeah,
good. That's
but
rare.
People say Moaz, Maoz, but Maoz is a Hebrew word that means strength.
Okay.
And it comes from the scripture, Adonai Maozi, the Lord is my strength. So that's our whole vision, is to strengthen Israel.
Well, you have quite a background with the show. When our national syndicator and sales team said, oh, Kobe's very familiar with the show. I was like, what, the guy in Israel? And you, but your background goes all the way back to Selma, Alabama, which that's is where right. we're heard on Alex FM. And you said you even did some work with that station there. So that's where your father planted a church, right?
Yeah, as far as we know, the first interracial congregation there.
Wow.
And it's funny because people say that was back in the 50s, 60s. I said, unfortunately, it took into the 80s, you know, for that to happen.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. It did.
But,
and you grew up in Selma.
So my teenage years, early, kind of formative years. And I guess wherever you spend your teenage years, that's kind of where you kind of harken back to. So born in Dallas, kind of moved around a lot growing up and kind of settled in Selma. My mother, my grandmother is from that area. My parents are from Birmingham. So kind of just fit to hear you guys growing up too, you know?
Well, that's great. So let's, unfortunately, here we are again. Now we've talked about this and we talked about you and some of our partnership. This is a messianic Jewish organization. So Yeshua is Messiah. You guys do not pull any punches on that. You hope to reach and disciple both Arab and Jews to recognize Yeshua as the Messiah. Of course, that's Jesus. But at the same time, you want to be the hands and feet of taking care of your people as we're instructed to do. Talk a little bit about what's going on right now and how people can help. Because I get emails, and now I can just point them to you going, what can we do? What can we do? Talk a little bit about the situation we're in right now.
Yeah, we've been around 50 years. I think you mentioned that. And my in-laws are American Jews, immigrated to Israel. And my mother-in-law's first trip was in 1958. So been around for a little bit. And the whole vision was, you know, how many believers are there? Jewish believers live in Israel or Israeli, and they found just handfuls, literally. And then as the years have progressed for folks who are into missions, I mean, we're on an exponential growth. We just seen, and I've been in the land most of my life now. And just in my lifetime, over 25 years in the land, I've seen went from just dozens and dozens of people my age at that time in the early 20s to now hundreds and thousands. So our body of believers is maybe 10, 20,000 people. It's still about a half of a percent. So much less than 1% of the population, but it's much more than handfuls. And so now so reaching people with the gospel, the good news, like that's what we're all about. Because you can help people humanitarian needs. You can give them water and food, but if they don't have the living bread, they're just going to die and go to hell.
Right.
I mean, that's what we believe. And so we want to do both, you know, we get in roads and things, but never like we've seen recently. On October 7th, everything changed for us as a ministry, as a country, as a nation. I mean, we were not prepared for what was to come, but it was the worst massacre and slaughter we've experienced in the modern state of Israel. We haven't seen things like this since the Holocaust. And it's crazy, the rise of anti-Semitism around the world are on levels that we have not seen since pre-World War II. So we're in a very interesting time in history, and I just kind of want people to know that. But we pivoted everything we were doing from humanitarian. We print books in Hebrew. We do all kinds of things, plant congregations in Israel, reach people, discipleship, and a lot of other things. But we just said, look, we've got to get busy with this war effort. So what I did is I volunteered in the beginning of the war with the army. I just turned 50, so I'm not in combat anymore. I said, look, I can still shoot. I can still shoot straight. I grew up in Alabama.
That's right. You know how to handle a deer, Rob.
Yeah, but you can't move too good. You're going to get hit. You know, we're going to have to write your wife and your five kids and tell them, you know, you got shot down. So you might take out one, but they'll get you pretty quickly. So I just volunteered to help, and our ministry just pivoted and said, well, because when you call up 500,000 reservist in a nation that's only 7.2 million Jews, I mean, that affects everyone. They didn't have enough boots. They didn't have, I mean, it was just crazy. It was just crazy in the very beginning, in the first few days. So we took hot food to people. We took boots and shoes and clothing. It gets cold in the desert at night. So when people ask, well, how can we help? Well, you know, I think you mentioned it, israelneedsme.com. I think it's a pretty easy to remember URL, and all that 100% goes to helping with the war effort. But then we began to realize, wow, this is cascading towards, you know, touching everyone in society in Israel and culture. You then had hundreds of thousands of Israelis that had to move from cities that were affected. So for the first time in history, we're saying the term Israeli refugees. And it's, we don't like that term in Israel, but it's we prefer to say evacuees. But really, it's technically war refugees in Israel, and it's something we've never seen in history. So hundreds of thousands removed from their homes, staying in hotels and different makeshift areas. So you got kids that are affected, a lot of orphans now, just difficult situations impact all of society. So we just are saying, how can we help? And as believers in the land, we often experience persecution, I'll just be honest with you. Now, it's not like a lot of the countries where our Arab brothers are, where they're being filleted alive. I mean, Jews aren't that violent. You know, they'll throw a bagel at you or something, but, you know, they don't necessarily throw rocks as much at you for your beliefs like other cultures. But they will try to assassinate and destroy your character. They'll try to shut down your businesses. Right. They'll try to do whatever they can. But during the war, we have experienced something amazing, and that is an embracing of the Messianic Jews into the society and culture. Now, you still have the ultra-Orthodox. They're going to, you know, misunderstand us until the Lord opens their eyes. But we see a lot of Jews that are saying, wait a minute, you guys are just like us. When they see us helping, they see us risking our lives. And unfortunately, we've had Messianic brothers and sisters even die in this war, giving the ultimate sacrifice. So we're seeing a shifting in the culture, and a lot of it, I'll be honest, is because Christians from the nations are supporting and helping in a way we've never seen. So that gives us inroads to do things that we've never been able to do.
All right, so Speedy came back from his debut with the Birmingham Stallions. They remained undefeated. They've already won the USFL 2 years in a row. They're now in the UFL, and they're undefeated again. Speedy, they went to try to see if they could, take it to a new level. Their protective life. They go out and get everybody's most sought after stadium hype man, Speedy, and apparently he blew his voice out trying to give the Stallions, you know, everything they hoped for.
They must need to be motivated.
So now he's fallen into the thing that happens anytime you have an ailment on the show. Here comes everyone to try to help you overcome it. Some of them without much merit. Some of them can come through. You know, you just never know. You have to work through all of it. So, Speedy, you've been given all these various things to get your voice back. Mm-hmm. It is much better today than it was yesterday.
Yeah, I agree.
But there was another one you've been doing that involves a straw. What is this?
I didn't know
somebody
a lot about
you to blow in
this
a straw.
Phonation
is this
thing?
After watching the Secular 2000 on the 1-year anniversary?
Did that give you the idea? Right.
Yeah. What is this?
It basically involves narrowing the opening of the air that is escaping your mouth when you're blowing out.
Mm-hmm. Are you just reading off this email?
And now the emailer said that they had voice issues, and mm-hmm. one of many that I got, which you just talked about, mm-hmm. and that the voice coach or whatever, the therapist, speech mm-hmm. therapist said, hum through a straw.
Hum?
Low and high. And they said right. they actually hum the Minnesota Vikings horn for 3 seconds that we always play for Bubba in intervals for about 20 seconds at a time, a couple of times a day.
So that go down and...
Yeah.
What do you have there? Is that a straw?
Well, I found a little straw that is the coffee stirrer.
I think I'd get that PVC pop.
No, you just want to see that.
Don't you think, Bubba?
Well, the straw doesn't seem like you can get enough volume through it.
Right.
Enough, air.
Yeah.
But it's actually been helping a little bit. All
right. Okay. Bubba? No.
Rick.
No.
Buddy. I don't think
no, you're
that's...
dropping too.
I don't think they meant a PVC pipe.
I don't think you need to hold it right on the mic. I think we've got it.
That sounds like an elephant.
Close.
Is it helping?
Is it supposed to help?
Is it helping?
There's an elk out in the parking lot. I'm looking.
Is it helping?
You tell me.
Ooh, that is better.
That is better.
Really?
Yeah, that's a lot.
Will it stay with you?
I'd give it probably two more puffs, but that's, I mean, that.
Yeah, I'd get at least puff and a half.
Maybe a puff a segment.
That's true.
I can't get the low one is the only problem.
Mm-hmm.
No.
What?
Mm-hmm. He's talking to the pipe now.
Like that?
That's better. Mm-hmm. Are you supposed to be blowing it or humming?
Humming.
All right.
Mm-hmm. I want you to get you a look on it.
picture being at the power company and everybody around the corner, and you said the following: I'm just humming through this pipe.
Yeah. That'd be a lot of comments.
Let me go high.
All right. No, so you started too high. All right, try one more time.
That's good, man.
All right, how do y'all
test?
Test 1-2. Like
that sounds better.
Barry White.
It does sound better.
I actually think it's making a difference. Do you agree, Adler?
That sounds good. Yeah.
That's a lot better.
And Dana gave me some honey. I've been killing this honey.
Now watch out now.
That's what I call my wife too.
Hey, be careful
you're
when
just
you
hugging honey.
Bubba and I, and you too. We've worked in radio a long time. If somebody in radio just randomly hands you a bottle of something, says take a pop, be careful.
Yeah,
this is some local honey too.
I bet it is.
Oh, nice. Good for allergies.
Bee vomit.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Greg.
It is, Greg. You're right.
Thanks, buddy. We all got that.
If you don't have a straw, I have heard about this before. Just
yeah. You have not.
My parents are vocal experts.
Oh, yes, they are.
Also, just working in radio. I've been in the biz for a long time, guys.
I forgot. Yeah. The biz.
What do you do?
If you don't have a straw, you can do like that.
Hey, don't do that.
Don't do what you just did, Speed. Do not do that.
Stay away from that.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
I'm just experimenting.
But yeah, I know.
Leave that alone.
Well, when you're experimenting, sometimes things blow up and you go, so do that again.
Right.
Ooh, that was wrong call.
You can go like making a motor sound.
What am I, a child?
You know?
Are you
that's
sure?
That's your lips. That ain't gonna do
you sure? It's all connected.
Right. Because I've heard this advice before, but it had nothing to do with your voice.
So you're saying hum it? How many people are humming in the car right
that's
now?
Good. Oh, tractor beam, Greg.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's good.
Oh, wow. That's really good. That sounds like an alien.
Yeah. That's right. Maybe it is.
No, they need to do a pigeon. No one's ever said do the pigeon.
He goes to the pigeon every time. Like,
well, I was just going with my tongue.
No, Charles Barkley.
That's a tongue exercise.
Do your tricks. You know, if you can do a pigeon, you got to work it in.
I got a pretty good hawk.
Yeah, all right.
No, you ever heard my hawk?
No, seriously, he has worked on this, and it really has come along.
He's a man of 1,000.
Here we go, ready?
Wow, that sounds just like
his face.
That sounds just like one.
You like that? I got a pretty good pig, too.
Well, I said just like one. You tried. You got jealous of Bubba's pig, so you tried to come up.
Wow.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah,
well, that's
Bubba
good.
Does an outstanding really,
thing. He does really. Great mist.
I just like he's a ventriloquist when he does it. You can't tell.
No, you can't. You don't know where it's coming from. You got to know where it's coming from.
You got to hear his mist piggy, too. It's really good. Yeah. Yeah. I can do a dog that growls.
Wow, that does sound good.
He's doing it.
That's the best part. And no, you hear this? Who's hired him for next year?
Yeah.
Jack State.
For
football. Yeah. Listen to this.
There is no stadium for you.
Wow. Yeah, you got to go. You know, are you surprised Jack State hadn't hired him yet?
No stadium untouched by Speedy.
I rode by the other day. The new field house looking good.
Is it?
Oh,
Speedy, you can come running right out of the bottom of it.
I saw the spring game. They got all that rain came. Just turned it upside down.
There was a lot of rain.
Yeah. The only thing that hurts the spring game more is a delay.
Yeah. It's hard enough as it is.
Yeah, right. They're already hard. And then you're like, well, we got it.
Quite committed. That just because I ain't going.
Well, that's going. Wow. That's going to work.
Michael Winslow, who?
Yeah, right.
From Police Academy.
That guy used to amaze me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's Speedy now.
All right, if you're having trouble with your garden, I know it's garden time of year. But we got a new take on a scarecrow here. We'll come back. This is a high tech scarecrow.
And also getting rid of weeds.
Yep, all that still to come right after this.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Bubba, when's the last time you planted a garden?
Back during the pandemic.
Okay, all back there planting a little garden.
Yep.
You know, one of the problems when you plant a garden, Greg, of course, you know I'm looking forward to getting back into garden business because you enjoyed that so much.
Especially you trying to give away vegetables.
Like that time you came down to fish, we end up harvesting corn.
Yeah, the whole day.
But anyway, so Bubba,
what
about a high-tech scarecrow?
Rick, this is high-tech farming. We have a laser scarecrow.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a look and see.
You think
this
about that. The scarecrow hadn't had a lot of additions.
Mm-mm. So is it just a laser? That what is it doing? Is it scaring?
Yes.
Does it hurt the corn?
It doesn't hurt the corn. This instance is a laser that doesn't burn up the vegetation or even the animals. But the laser is a pesticide-free way of scaring birds away and keeping birds off of your crops.
Well, birds out there at night? I mean, is this also getting critters out of there?
It's getting critters. It's getting roosting birds. They found that's one of the most effective ways to do it.
What do you know about it? Did you read something on this?
I read about it.
Okay.
Well, now, if you do a corn patch with that and it gets stuck in one spot, will you have popcorn?
I think that's funny. Yes.
That's funny, Bubba.
What
it's
if you looked in
that much ground?
What if also that laser hit like a scary kid and children start walking out?
This explains all those like crazy UFO lights we see in people's crops at night.
What about the other end of the field? What are you going to do with it?
Well, they suggest
put one on each end.
In this article, they suggested putting a laser on one end, and they actually pair it with a randomly going off loud cannon sound. And between these two things,
how do you sleep?
Between these two things, that's what keeps.
How do you sleep if the garden's behind your house?
Well, hopefully you have a lot of land.
All right, so let me go ahead. I'm going to ask something on behalf of Speedy.
Crops are fine. Restless eyes.
On behalf of Speedy, how much one of these cost?
Rick.
They're actually not that expensive. I saw them between $300 and $1,000.
Speedy, is that expensive to you?
If I'm a farmer and I need my crops.
Right.
Well, you mean to tell me that this is better than a couple of sticks with a shirt and some pants?
Yes. Yes.
That's what you're trying to tell me?
And a tin pan.
Because think about the scarecrow. Scarecrow has not advanced up to now.
When those people put the tin pans up, that's my favorite.
In my mind, Adler, I was not expecting that. I thought the laser was going to do like a 3D image of you know how they do Michael Jackson and Tupac and all that.
I expected to look out in the middle of Avatar.
And he was going to be the Wizard of Oz.
Yes. That's funny.
Yeah. I thought I was going to look out there and see Stonewall Jackson standing out there. You know?
So Adler,
y'all remember when I went down and I went hunting for the show? It was tough for me to do that.
You
and I stayed with the Jaegers and their farmers.
Selfless.
At their barn, they had a slew, of scarecrows that were leaning up against the side of the barn that they would put out. It spooked me at first, but they were just a pile of them just leaning up against the barn.
You got to change it up.
Yeah, you have to put them out.
They get used to it. You said that you also had footage, and I've seen this before, of the laser weed removal.
Yes.
And so you don't use the pesticide. You actually just burn the weeds up with a laser light, right?
Yeah. Check this
out.
So it's a tractor that's basically just shooting tiny little lasers down And it is accurate.
I need that in my flower bed.
It's accurate within 3 millimeters.
And what is it doing?
It's shooting weeds.
It's killing the weeds.
Oh, you can see them burning up.
Yeah.
Tiny
but
little.
But that doesn't kill the crop.
Right. It knows where to blast because it scans.
What's that, Speedy? How much does this cost?
Yeah.
That's a lot more.
That's a lot.
You're a serious farmer. You got that.
Yeah. But imagine doing that and not having to put all the pesticides.
Oh, yeah.
Zap. Zap, zap, zap. It's just burning
water. You just, you know, would be safe.
But we all know where this.
You reckon a price tag on that side?
Yeah. Listen, we all know where this is going, though, because we've been, we've lived long enough. We know where this is going. Yeah. 10 years from today, those of you that use the lasers,
yes.
Those of you that put lasers on your gardens, and please call me, Alabama.
Call me.
And we'll find out there was some horrible thing that these lasers did. You know, the people's eyes are falling out or something like that.
You got laser bowel syndrome or something.
That's it. Yeah.
Put how the scarecrow back
how do we,
out.
How do we get to the root of the problem, though? I mean,
oh, you're
you know?
Terrible.
Oh, wow.
That's terrible.
What a pun.
Yeah,
hey,
terrible.
Adler, too, I was noticing in this rundown, and I didn't scan it, and I didn't talk to you about it, but Cut 13 about how bees are trained to detect explosions.
Yeah. You can't train a bee.
Ain't no bee.
Ain't no bee.
It fits with what we're talking
ain't
about.
No bee, Andy.
This is good stuff. Oh, by the way, the lasers don't scare off deer. They don't keep deer away from your crops.
Yeah,
the deer get to eat.
Here's how they train bees to find explosives.
They train bees to detect explosives.
They're
it all starts with the extraction of the bees using a special suction device. Then they transfer the bees to a refrigerator to calm them down. Once they are calm, they place them in a container that distributes them and puts a special harness on them. Once in the harness, the bees are ready to start their training. First, they choose those who are able to get their tongue out of the proboscis after perceiving sugary water. This is known as the proboscis extension reflex, or PER. Then they proceed to release a vapor with distinctive characteristics of the explosives every 6 seconds, and they reward them with sugary water in the last 3 seconds. Thus, they can associate the presence of explosives with nectar, reacting with the PER. They repeat the process for 4 rounds, and those who react correctly are ready to work. The detection of explosives is based on placing 6 bees in a cartridge that goes in a special equipment with cameras to see if they do PER when detecting the particles, or also use a series of infrared lights to determine that action. Then a screen projects the response. They load the bee cartridge into the special device, and it sucks a sample of air with possible explosive particles. The technician presses a button for the air to enter, and the bees analyze the sample while the infrared lights determine the response that will be projected on the screen. Something very interesting is that in each cartridge, you can place a bee trained to respond to certain specific particles and thus determine several substances. The most impressive thing is that they can be trained in just hours, and for their maintenance, they only require nectar or sugary water, being much cheaper than a dog.
What?
Oh, they're going to start
with a parody.
No, that's real.
That is not.
Y'all
real.
Heard about dogs smelling cancer, lung cancer? Y'all heard about that?
What's that with a bee?
Animals can smell things.
You can't control bees. You can't put a bee in something like that and it lives.
How about the little collar they put it in to hold it?
They don't put it in
I didn't know they had such a long tongue. I'll
every dog I've ever been around appears to be trying to detect colon cancer.
Right.
Well, they'll get up in there.
Hey,
they'll lift you up.
Hello, how are you? Friend.
Most uncomfortable thing is when we have a guest come over and it's a female, and I'm just a mess.
Yeah.
You think you're a mess.
I'm like, come on.
You
now.
Want a thunderstorm to come up so he'll run off.
I mean, look. Let's not do that.
Dogs can be crazy inappropriate.
Ma'am.
Oh, crazy
well, they have no manners.
There he is. We've done this to each other for 10 minutes. I mean, nonstop. And both of us keep getting the other one every time. I don't know. I don't buy the bee story.
I don't know. I think it's about like the Vikings doing away with food or whatever it was we did.
Yeah.
Vegan.
Oh, that the vegan story. That was fake.
That was a parody website.
Yeah.
I'd believe that for what bees that can detect
the
bees.
They stick their tongue out.
I think I'd stick with the dog.
I like how the dog operates better.
Don't wear a skirt around Kevin, I'll tell you that right now.
We'll be back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
May not have heard that. So Tom Brady has agreed to be roasted on Netflix. They're calling it the greatest roast of all time comedy special.
Now, why did he agree to do this?
Probably a big check, I would say.
He's got enough big checks.
Does he? I don't know. He says that he
just wants to be on TV.
He's going to be there, and it says it was announced in May of 2022, but now it will be broadcast Sunday.
He's got some tough ones on there, too.
Yeah, May 5th.
So. Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart.
But you know he'll be rough on him.
Greg, do you know Jeff Ross?
Mm-hmm. He's on every comedy roast. What he does.
Is he rough?
Yes.
Yeah, he's pretty rough. And where Comedy Central would record them, edit them, bleep out stuff if needed.
Mm-hmm.
With this one being live, just heads up, everybody. Watch out. Because you never know.
Is he on there too?
Yep,
the
Bruce
only
Willis.
One missing
he has no pistol.
That obviously could not be there was Don Rickles. I mean, he was the king of roast, back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Bruce Willis? They're going to bring Bruce Willis?
No. Made that up.
It says
he may have originally been.
Oh, he's roasted actors like them. Okay. For a minute, Burgess. I thought they were going to be there. Okay, no, I'm sorry.
No.
Okay. Whoa. I was like, I don't know about that. That's coming up on May 5th.
Speedy said he's watching.
Yeah. And a roast can be fun until people get.
Emmett Smith is going to be there, Rick.
I saw that. That's going to be good.
Like all those people, they have writers that write everybody's jokes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And even his response, you know. So you just hope you got good writers.
So do you think they'll be making fun of him not being able to hold on to his supermodel wife?
Bubba.
They'll say something about that. Oh, there'll be a lot of those. There'll be tons of those references.
Bubba.
You think?
That's one.
Have you ever watched one of they are ruthless.
I've heard things that
they're horrible.
Terrible, horrible things. They'll say terrible things, and it's almost like, the matter of fact, that will be such a rich environment for that on that particular topic. You're over there sad if you don't go first.
Because
whoever goes first is going to go there first.
Yeah.
You know?
And then they'll all feel the need to raise the bar after that, which means it could get really awful.
Bubba, I've heard of coaches being thrown out of games over fans in Little League. I've never heard of Major League Baseball tossing a manager because of the behavior of the fans.
I've heard about this story.
Do you think
Boone said it? Get your pointer out, Rick.
Okay,
Where's your pointer at? All right, look at Royal Blue golf shirt.
Right here. Yeah. Yep. He's the guy. He's the culprit.
He's the guy. He's the culprit. He's going to be barking, and he's right over Aaron's shoulder, and the umpire thinks it's Aaron Boone.
Oh, so he thinks it's Aaron Boone.
Yes, but it's not. So just once it plays,
where is Aaron Boone?
You'll see him.
Right there.
He's about to jump up and go, what?
See him right over here squatted.
So the fan in the blue shirt is the one who says something to Hunter Wendelstadt. That's what he reacts to, and he kicks out Aaron Boone, who says, whoa, I didn't say anything.
Okay, so blue shirt goes after blue, and says something. I can't read his lips, and I guess
he probably didn't like it.
No, he didn't.
Is the umpire confused about who said?
Here's the Yankees manager. Okay. You can see he does not say anything. You can see he does not say a single thing. And I actually can't use this audio because after he gets kicked out of the game, he goes on a cussing tirade.
Yeah,
but you can see here he did not say a single thing. Sitting there, nothing. Chewing gum.
Just the top of the first two, by the way.
Looking at his nails. And then that's when he gets tossed right there. And he's pointing to the guy in the blue, which...
Look at blue!
Blue's like...
Look at blue shirt.
That is so funny that he got him tossed, by the way. Yankees manager not happy.
He's trying to tread lightly.
Not happy.
Here's what I'm wondering, though. Do we have this right? Did he toss him for thinking he said it, or is he tossing him just from what the fans said?
I just don't think you throw a manager out because of what the fans.
Well, I wouldn't think so either, but I saw the umpire point to the fan himself.
Well, originally he thought it was Aaron, and because you can't argue balls and strikes and all that. They have limited,
because the story doesn't tell.
So he then tosses him, and then Aaron runs out. It's not me. And then he doubles down and says, I don't care where it's coming from. You're out, because it came from that area, that zone.
Well, that makes sense.
And he's
no
like,
sense.
Well, it's in the stands. I can't
is
control
that angel
them.
Calling that?
I think Powell was embarrassed.
Yeah, it is an embarrassing call.
Here's the announcers kind of breaking it down a little bit.
Hunter Wendelstadt with some aggressive rabbit ears, one batter into this game.
One batter.
And Aaron Boone obviously frustrated because he's saying, you gave me the warning. I didn't say anything. You heard somebody else. You're kicking me out. I'm telling you it wasn't me, and you're saying I don't care.
Yeah, Aaron Boone has been thrown out of plenty of Major League Baseball games, and probably rightfully so for what he has done. This instance.
This is it's not
so,
so
he
much.
Had warned him. He had warned him, and then the guy did it, and I guess he thought.
Please understand, it's the first inning.
That's
too.
What he said. First batter of the game.
How
a
mad
fan,
can you be? That
I mean, you're just now getting warmed up.
You got to give Blue Shirt some credit here. If what
Boone
you
was
said
on him quick.
If what you said gets your manager thrown out after one batter, now that is a heckling Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I don't know what he said.
How about Blue Shirt didn't even stand up and go, "Hey, it was me." No. He just stood there like,
yeah, he's like,
he was little Blue Shirt.
And the umpire, we've all been here either with our parents when we were younger or married with our wives, no offense. But when you explain yourself sometimes and they even realize that what you said is actually accurate and they go, well, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
They're already loaded up.
I'm still mad.
Yeah.
He's already teed up, ready to go.
I'm mad at you about things you did do. I'm going to throw that in here right now.
I kind of want to know what that guy said.
Uh-huh. Badly. Now I'm watching different people. Please look at the fans around Blue Shirt.
Yeah, they're confused.
They're even grinning. Look, he's laughing.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think he knows it's the fan. He's almost looking at the fan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't throw the manager out.
No, what a drama queen.
Watch these other guys. They can't believe that they're laughing at whatever he said. And it looked the guy holding the little kid up there. He's holding his hand up like, what?
You think he told him he's eating too much or what's the deal? What got him, though? I want to know what got him.
I tried to read his lips. I can't make it out.
Sounds like he showed up at the park in kind of touchy mood. You know, if it's the first batter.
Look, these drama queens we have that take the job as officials and umpires, what up? I mean, by the way, just note to self, don't call one that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because you'll get to go sit in the bleachers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, they really hate that.
I found the audio of the guy, but I can't understand what he's saying, but I think it might be a cuss word, so I don't know.
You think? You think?
What? That's what he says?
It's like, meh. But I think he's saying something else.
Man. Well, it was very upsetting.
It's almost like
you think the guy in the blue shirt, if you get your manager tossed after one batter, it's almost like Blue Shirt knew something about this umpire that was personal, and he threw it out there in front of everybody. I mean, because the guy's reaction is a little over the top.
Yeah.
The guy's not even screaming.
We're missing something in this story.
No. Usually they grow weary as somebody stays on them a whole game.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, I've had enough of you.
Yeah.
But first batter?
I guess he wanted to establish where
he was. Well, in the story we have, Aaron was like, this is embarrassing. I didn't say anything. And the umpire doubles down, says you're out. You know, I don't care.
Rick, there were only five pitches into the game.
That's crazy.
He woke up on the wrong side of the plate this morning.
What the hell?
Oh, wow, that's good.
You got to put Blue Shirt in a heckler Hall of Fame.
Well, we got to find out what he said. I know that.
It must have been bad.
Hey, it's Rick and Bubba gathering right here tomorrow for a brand new Rick and Bubba show.
Rick, it'll be a big and busy show as always. We'll get you all the headlines you need in only the way Rick and Bubba can bring them to you. Mr. Promotion Gene Hallman will be here and a whole lot more.
All tomorrow on a brand new Rick and Bubba show.
Thanks for listening to the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
To catch the entire show and for all things Rick and Bubba, go to rickandbubba.com, spell out AIM.
Lord willing, we will catch you on the next edition of the Rick and Bubba Show.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.